podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
Now, we have been going through a series of sermons entitled Switching Channels, and a series of sermons is based on Romans chapter 12, which says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." So we've been talking about the difference between conformed thinking and transformed thinking. Conformed thinking is what the world tries to squeeze you into. And it's kind of the default thinking that we have in our lives. If we do not tend to the condition of our hearts and minds, then we will become a carbon copy of this world. By tuning into the world station, we will become just like the world in the way that we view life. But if we switch channels and allow the Holy Spirit to apply the Word of God to our lives and to transform our thinking, when our thinking becomes transformed, our minds will be renewed. We will view life the way that God sees it rather than the way that the world sees it. And there's a huge difference between conformed thinking and transformed thinking. And yes, we live in a world that is saturated with conformed thinking. Transformed thinking makes all the difference. So we've been talking about such things as who's the boss. Do you live your life to receive praise or to give God praise? Beat the clock. Are you panicked by the ticking of the clock in your life? Or do you realize that you've got all eternity as a child of God? What's my line? Are you the result of a random, meaningless accident with no real purpose to your life? Or are you lovingly designed by the Creator with purpose? I skip Father Knows Best. What is the authority for your life? Is it the opinions of man? Is it what feels good that day? Or is it the Word of God? As the world turns, we looked at last week, is the earth your mother? Or is the earth a precious resource that has been placed in our stewardship as men and women created in the image of God? This morning we look at happy days. And I need to warn you that 2 weeks from now, after homecoming, we're going to talk about the facts of life. The reason I want to warn you about that is because what the world says about sex and what what God says about sex and His Word are two completely different things. And we're going to talk about that 2 weeks from now. And so if you have a child, even if they're a little older than Children's Church, and you don't think they're ready for that, you can send them down there. Feel free to do that. And some of our adults might want to feel free to go down to Children's Church as well, because you're not ready to hear it. So anyhow, this morning, happy days. If the world generally lives as if there is no God and there is no meaning or purpose to our lives, then what are people living for? I mean, if you wake up in the morning and you say, "I am a random process. I have emerged from the evolutionary swamp. I am a process of accidental genetic mutations. Good morning, here I am," right? Well, what is my purpose? What is my meaning? And what do I do that day? I mean, what do I live for? I think the answer to that question for most people who don't believe in God is happiness. Happiness. I just want to be happy. Now, what happens when the circumstances of life threaten that happiness? The answer to that question is worry and despair and depression and anxiety. If the one thing that you're living your life for seems like something that you cannot have, then you just want to give up, to turn it all in and to worry about the future. So let's read what Jesus had to say about it in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they?" So you have to remember last week's message in order to answer that question. Are you more valuable than a bird? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Yeah. Each day has its own trouble. So why start worrying about tomorrow's trouble when we can deal with today's? Jesus warns us about the conformed thinking of this world. Conformed thinking tells us that we need to seek our happiness through possessions. Conformed thinking seeks happiness through possessions. Jesus warns against worrying about material things. What am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? Conformed thinking, the world's type of thinking, is obsessed with finding happiness through the things of the world, through what I own, through what I have in my barn, through what I have in my attic that I haven't looked at for years. Those are the things that make me happy. Conformed thinkers are always talking about their experiences, where they've been, the things they've seen. They're always talking about their stuff. They're always talking about their money. They become very, very anxious and worried when their possessions are threatened, when their lifestyle is threatened. And if you've become comfortable with a certain standard of living, and the thought of being forced to cut back makes you feel very, very anxious, then you might be a victim of conformed thinking. You've fallen into the trap. You're being squeezed into the mold of the world, if that's the way you think. Jesus also warned them that those who think like the world thinks seek happiness through pride. I'll share a verse with you, Obadiah chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I know you wanted to get your Obadiah on this morning. You're like, I want to be an Obadiah. And some of you are like, is that a book of the Bible? Yeah, and I'm not having you turn to it because it's very short, but very meaningful. And this specific verse speaks to us this morning. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights, you who say to yourself, who can bring me down to the ground? Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. You hear about pride comes before a fall. It's kind of what this verse is about. If you feel secure with your possessions and with your place in life and what you've acquired, and you are proud of who you are and what you've become, and you think nothing can touch me, think again. Think again. Because that is perhaps the most dangerous place to be, is to be so proud that you think nothing can touch you. Remember the guy who built the Titanic and said, unsinkable, even God couldn't sink this boat. Pride, pride. Once you are perched above it all, you can feel good about yourself. That's conformed thinking. Once I'm sitting above it all, once I've got everything I need, my possessions, then I can be proud of who I've become and what I have. I've built my own personal kingdom. My political opinion is the right political opinion. Everybody else is wrong. My life choices are unquestionable. How dare you to have an opinion about my life choices? Don't judge me. If anyone disagrees with you, it's because they are wrong. You couldn't possibly be wrong. See, that is happiness. To get to that level of security and self-confidence, to have everything you want and to feel really good about yourself, that's conformed thinking. Wealth and confidence, could it get any better than that? Well, yeah, because conformed thinking also seeks happiness through pleasure. Through pleasure. See, sometimes we think that the pleasure comes with the possessions and the pride, but the pleasure is something that some people are seeking after, even though they don't have possessions and pride. Sometimes it's the only thing that people, apart from God, have to live for is pleasure. Just to wake up in the morning and find something that makes them feel good. This is the beginning of addiction. Look at Isaiah chapter 5, verse 12 says, Isaiah wrote, "They have harps and lyres at their banquets, pipes and timbrels and wine, but they have no regard for the deeds of the Lord, no respect for the work of His hands." Yeah, there's a lot of pleasure. There's a lot of partying going on. There's a lot of happiness. But there's something missing. The story of who God is and what He's doing and how I fit in to what He's all about. If all I'm after is pleasure, then I've missed a lot in this world. Worldliness encourages us to pursue personal pleasure above everything else. If you are constantly thinking about what you would like to do, what would you would like to try, what would you like to experience, what would you like to eat, what are your dreams and your hopes, what do you want to do to be happy, then maybe you are being squeezed into the mold of this world, conformed thinking. Possessions, pride, and pleasure, that's what the world says brings happiness. Now, the world's not all bad. Don't misunderstand me, because I believe that there are people who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ who are doing some very good things in this world. They run charities. There are doctors who don't know the Lord as Savior, a part of Doctors Beyond Borders. And there are good people in this world who are doing good things regardless of the fact that they're not saved. I think it's proof to us that we have a God who has created us all in His image. And so there is some redemptive things taking place among people who don't know the Lord. But boy, how much better life could be if they would be plugged into the source of the power. Imagine they're doing good apart from the Lord, what they could do with the power of the Lord and the Holy Spirit. Possessions, pride, and pleasure. I mean, what's the problem, right? There's nothing wrong with those things. For example, Jesus said in the verse we just read, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32, the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Food, clothing, God knows you need those things. There's nothing wrong with having possessions, owning some things. God created pleasure. The feeling of pleasure that we receive is something that God built in us as human beings. There's nothing sinful or evil about pleasure. He wants us to feel good, to be happy, to have food and clothing, to experience things in life, to have the things we need, to have joy, and to enjoy things that we want, and to have self-respect. God wants us to have all of these things. These are good. The problem is not in pride, pleasure, and possessions alone. The problem is the philosophy that it takes those things to make you happy. And those are the things that you should pursue in your life. That is such a shallow way to live. Now, when did this obsession with happiness begin? In the book Kingdom Triangle, J.P. Moreland introduces us to the leading professor and the nation's leading researcher on happiness. How about that? You never knew that that was available to you when you were a kid, did you? That I'm going to study happiness, I'm going to get my PhD in happiness. Well, this guy is the leading authority in the country, in the world, on happiness. His name is Martin Seligman. He is a professor and has his PhD. He's devoted over 30 years to studying the topic of happiness. So what did he come up with? Well, here's one thing that he found repeatedly. That when people live for happiness, they turn their attention inward and become shriveled selves who are anything but happy. Do you get that? If you're pursuing happiness and that's the thing you want, you're going to turn all of your love inward toward yourself, and you'll become a shriveled self who's anything but happy. In 1988, he found that the baby boom generation of America experienced a tenfold increase in depression compared to earlier generations. And those numbers have just gotten higher. People are depressed in our culture. Why? because they have stopped living for a cause bigger than themselves, like their ancestors did. They've forgotten about living for a big cause, a big story, a big picture, and instead, we began spending our energy on living for ourselves and our own pleasurable satisfaction, and the result of that, funny, is sadness. Not happiness, as we had hoped. Most of us learned this lesson when we were young. Can you remember a toy or an electronic gadget that you wanted? You wanted it so bad. You knew that if you had that thing, it would make your life complete and you would be happy finally. Think about that thing for a moment. What is that thing that you wanted above all else? And you knew that if you could have that thing, that if it was under the tree on Christmas morning, if it was, you know, among your birthday gifts, if you got a hold of that thing, you would be happy. You remember some of those things? Maybe it was an iPod, or maybe it was a Walkman, or maybe it was a boombox. Maybe for some of you it was a transistor radio. Maybe it was an 8-track player. Maybe it was a record player. Maybe it was a Victrola. I don't know, you know? Maybe it was a PS3, you know, PlayStation. Maybe it was a Nintendo Wii. Or maybe it was an Atari, you know, Space Invaders. Maybe it was Pong, right? Not beer pong. There was a game called Pong where you played tennis on the screen, okay? Maybe it was a pogo stick. I don't know. Or a hula hoop. Whatever it was, what was that thing that you knew if you had it, it would make you happy beyond a shadow of a doubt? Maybe it's a Barbie doll or an American Girl doll or a doll made out of corn husks. Whatever it was, think about it for a moment. What was it? Do you have it in your mind now? For me, it was a bicycle. You know, a bicycle had to have the banana seat and the monkey handlebars. And you had a place where you could put a baseball card in between the spokes and make that cool noise. You know, oh, and maybe even one of those flags that would come out of it that people could see you turn in the corner. Oh, I just needed one of those. I got it. You know, Christmas morning, I came downstairs and there it was. He's just sitting in the living room. Imagine that. I mean, that morning my dad had to shovel the sidewalk because it was snowing outside. He had to shovel the sidewalk in the driveway so I could ride my bicycle back and forth, you know, short distances. And I enjoyed that. It was the thing that was going to make me more happy than anything else in the world. I'm sure whatever you got, you were thrilled with it when you got it. You were happy, you know? Now, how long did that last? And where is that thing right now? Where is it? I could tell you the bicycle's in a landfill somewhere. I think it was sold at a garage sale a few years after I got it because there was something better that came along. Most of us have learned that things do not satisfy. They do not last. The thrill is gone so quickly. Have you ever bought something for your child and been so excited about watching them open it and they were thrilled with it and then you find it laying in the middle of the floor a couple days later and they don't care about it anymore? And you can hide the thing and they don't even remember it? That doesn't stop us from trying. Even though we've learned that lesson, it doesn't stop us from trying. We keep trying to get the next big thing that's going to make me happy. We are addicted. The toys just have become bigger and bigger as we've gotten older and older. J.P. Moreland, that philosopher, Christian philosopher I was talking about a little earlier, does a good job of describing this conformed thinking. You wanted some philosophy this morning. Here it is. Happiness is a good thing. Amen? All things being considered, happiness is a good thing. But if it is overemphasized or made the focus of one's life, it leads to depression, a loss of purpose in life, and a deep-seated sense of fragmentation. In short, it ruins your life. Why? For one thing, there are more important things in life than being happy. There's a larger meaning and a bigger purpose that should be our life's aim. Put simply, we are wired for more than happiness. We are made to live for God's honor by learning how to become spiritually competent, mature members of His kingdom, and to make that kingdom our primary concern. Sounds like somebody else I've heard of in a passage that we've just recently read, right? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33? Seek first His kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things will be given to you as well. You're going to have what you need, but seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Be plugged into what God's doing first. So let's talk about transformed thinking in the time that we have left. Transformed thinking finds contentment from the care of the Father. That's what Jesus was saying. Look, God cares for the birds of the field. He cares for the grass. He cares the birds of the air and the grass of the field. I'm sorry. There are birds that are in the field too. And some of them are being shot, right? Very soon and put on the table. But all I'm trying to say is that God is concerned about you. He cares for you. He loves you. You are his creation. He designed you. You are not some random process. You are not an accident. You are designed by God. He made you. He loves you. He cares for you. And you can find contentment in that fact. You don't have to be anxious. You can be content to do his will, to live the life that he's called you to live, and just trust him to provide for your needs. That's what Jesus said. Now, transformed thinking also finds peace through the cultivation of the soul. You want contentment. You want peace through the cultivation of the soul. See, conformed thinking is most concerned about physical and material happiness, to get the things that I want so I'll feel happy. Transformed thinking is different because it's more concerned with the condition of the soul. See, man looks at the external part, the physical things. Man is concerned about what kind of car you're driving, what kind of house you're living in. But God looks at the heart. He sees your heart, the condition of your soul. He sees whether you're walking with him or not, whether you've turned your life over to him or not, what car you drive, what house you live in. God's not impressed, okay? He's impressed with the condition of your heart. Are you walking with him? Conformed thinking is all about shiny things that we can see, trinkets that will be in the landfill tomorrow, while transformed thinking is more concerned with invisible values, character, virtues, holiness, maturity, values that will last for all eternity. That's what transformed thinkers are concerned with. And transformed thinking finds fulfillment in the cause of Christ. You want a cause that is bigger than yourself, that you can devote your whole life to, that you can struggle forward in for the rest of your life, then pick up on the cause of Christ. What is Jesus Christ doing in this world today, and where can I plug in and be a part of that? Jesus said that it's all about loving God and loving others, and it's all about growing in our faith and sharing with one another and telling each other about who Jesus is and providing and promoting the values of God with our families and with those that we love. It's all about being a part of God's kingdom, being a part of what God is doing in this world, allowing the conformed thinkers of this world to have their stuff that's worthless at the end, and instead build a life that's meaningful for all eternity by building relationships, love, by sharing our faith with others, by seeing people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, by watching entire families get baptized in the water of baptism, by seeing lives change, people grow, and each one of us become more like Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. That's transformed thinking, seeking God's kingdom first. Whether it seems at the moment like it's going to make you happy or not. Because sometimes to follow the way of God and to seek his kingdom means that we have to put a little bit of happiness aside to find the joy, the fulfillment, the peace, and the contentment that he will bring to us. That's counterintuitive. We won't even see it coming. If you go all out for doing God's will, for living according to his plan, for pleasing him, for serving him, you will find true joy, contentment, peace, and fulfillment, even though you weren't looking for it. Now, if you go all out in your life for happiness and for possessions and pride and for pleasure, you will live a shallow, unsatisfying life. That's what the truth is. I had a hitting coach when I was in college. baseball hitting, by the way. You're like, what was he hitting? We were hitting baseballs, and we had a coach who came, and he was a former major league ball player, Bill Robinson, who was also a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he came and shared with us how to hit a baseball. Now, most baseball hitters, and I was one of them, was concerned about hitting home runs. That's what I wanted to do. Show me how to hit a home run, right? Because that's what we want. That's number one. You hit a home run, you're happy, right? So he actually sat us down and said, look, the worst thing you can do is step up to the plate and say, I'm going to hit a home run. Just erase that from your mind. Don't even think about the home run. Don't think about it, because once you try to hit a home run, you can't. You just can't do it. Your muscles get all tense. You know, you get all anxious. You can't see the ball clearly because you're clenching your teeth. He says, no. He says, relax. Step up to the plate and just swing. Swing as hard as you can in the direction of the ball. Keep your eye on the ball and follow through. Do what you've been trained and taught to do. Don't even think about where the ball's going to go. If the ball's on the outside of the plate, hit it that direction. If it's on the inside of the plate, hit it the other direction. Just do what comes naturally. Don't even think about where the ball's going. Just hit it as hard as you can. And trust your talent. You know what? That works. That works. You will hit home runs if you just relax and swing at the ball. But if all you can think about is hitting home runs, chances are you're going to strike out. That's what it's like in this world. If you are after happiness and pleasure and possessions and you want to be happy, if that's all you're after, Scripture tells us, Christian philosophy tells us, theology tells us, can't find it there. But if you will follow after God, He guarantees happiness, joy for all eternity, and contentment. This is difficult, I know. Because if someone were to ask you today, what is it that you want for your children? Number one answer, I want them to be happy. Who doesn't say that, right? I want my kid to be happy. That's number one in their life, right? So I'm going to do everything I can to make sure they're happy. I'm going to give them everything they want. I want to make sure they eat healthy. I want them to be happy. I want a happy kid. What did John say about his spiritual children in John, 3 John? You remember that? He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. What, no happiness? Because John understood something. If my children are walking in the truth, they will have joy, contentment for all eternity. And would I trade that in for a moment of happiness as they unwrap that present and they see that thrill? Oh, that brings joy and happiness. But then it's gone. Would I trade in eternity of contentment and satisfaction and fulfillment in the kingdom of God? Would I trade that for a moment of happiness? I don't think it's worth it. It's not all about happy, happy, happy. Happiness is not the goal. Happiness is a benefit of giving your life to Christ. It is something you will experience and you will enjoy, but it's not the goal. So what will it be? What will it be? Will you follow the pattern of this world, be squeezed into the pattern of this world and the world's thinking, and seek personal happiness above all else? Or will you follow Jesus and give your life to Him? Give your life away for a cause that is much bigger than yourself, that will last for all eternity. Let's decide for eternity. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, transform our thinking this morning. Renew us by your word. Lord, help us, Father, to turn our eyes away from the things that might feel good, might make us feel good about ourselves for a moment, the things that might give us a rush or a thrill. Lord, help us to turn away from those things, because, Lord, the pursuit of those things is not where it's at. But help us, Lord, to recognize who you are and to follow you with everything that we are. Lord, help us to trust in you, to walk with you, to want to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to you. Help us to love others, to be involved in the cause of spreading your gospel and of building your kingdom here in this world and of looking forward to eternity. Father, for if we can be involved in that great cause, then we will find what happiness truly is. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.